T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
All right, Bowerly with you on News Radio 930 WBEN, and 9 minutes after 4 o'clock. And talking a little bit about dogs here on WBEN. We started in one direction, and we're going to go down several different avenues. Who is this Jared Dillman guy? What is his story? What is his game? A Buffalo pet groomer accused of fatally beating a dog while working at a grooming business. The Erie County DA's office says 23-year-old Jared Dillman of Buffalo has been arraigned before Judge Barbara Johnson Lee on one count of aggravated cruelty to animals, a felony, and one count of overdriving, torturing, and injuring animals, failure to provide proper sustenance, a misdemeanor. According to the authorities, Dillman, working as a groomer at Paw Prints by Penny and Company on Niagara Street in Buffalo, caused the death of a 3-year-old Havanese dog by throwing the dog against a wall, repeatedly kicking the dog while wearing boots. The preliminary necropsy shows the dog died as a result of blunt force trauma. So the next court date for this cowardly piece of crap is going to be Friday, August 16th at 9:30 in the morning for a felony hearing. Judge Johnson Lee set bail at $5,000 cash, bond, or property. What a badass tough guy, huh? Takes a dog, throws it against a wall, kicks it to death. 23-year-old Jared Dillman of Buffalo. Those are the charges anyway. Of course, it has to be adjudicated in court. Everybody is innocent until and unless proven guilty in a court of law. But if guilty, I can think of a few punishments that might match the crime. Not sure about you guys, but I can sure think of a few downright draconian punishments. But in North Tonawanda, that is like a nightmare. Imagine taking your dog to be groomed and getting the call from the groomer that your Havanese is not coming home, and then finding out exactly what happened. You entrust your animal to the care of somebody like allegedly Jared Dillman, who allegedly does what he allegedly did to this dog. What a piece of human crap. And I hope he gets the maximum if he is found guilty in a court of law. See, I love dogs. I don't like dogs at festivals. I think they've got no business being at festivals. We talked about that earlier. It is raining like cats and dogs outside of our Amherst studio right now, as it was expected to do. But in North Tonawanda, one of the stories is dealing with how many dogs are too many dogs in one particular household. Should there be a limit on the number of dogs? And are people gaming the system when it comes to so-called emotional support animals? And, I won't name the place, but I was at a restaurant just the other night, and there was a woman who had a dog on a leash. And, there was a time when the idea of a dog even on a leash in a restaurant would have been frowned upon. If not illegal, it would have been frowned upon. And now it's like all you have to do seemingly is say, well, this dog is my emotional support animal. I mean, how about emotional support ferrets, emotional support cobras, emotional support gerbils? Hey, there's an idea. All right, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's go to Bill of Williamsville on WBEN. Bill, a lot of dog and animal stories in the news here today. What's up?
I had cats for 18 years. Loved them. Switched to dogs. I've had dogs now 14 years. Love them. Different animals, obviously, but different way you interact and they react. But I've seen different things on planes, restaurants, everything. I had a, since you were telling little funny stories, I used to be manager multiple stores for a very large retailer, and had this one of my salespeople come up to me one day and say, Greg, which they called me as a pet name. I hate to say that, but said...
At least they didn't call you Fluffy. Could have been worse.
But they said, hey, you got to get this customer out of here. They're stinking up the store. I said, what are you talking about? She said, the salesperson at the time, she goes, they have a dog with them, and it stinks. So I said, okay, let me go take a look. And if picture Betty Davis and the Crypt Keeper.
I can't get past Betty Davis's eyes. I have no idea what the rest of her ever looked like, just her eyes.
No, what I mean, it had like maybe a leopard coat on, that type of thing, and a big handbag. So I get up to the young couple in probably their 90s, but I guess I get closer. I notice a little head sticking out of this large bag, and the head's, you know, rotating around. And I get closer, and I can sense this odor. And I said, folks, I said, how are you doing? I introduced myself. And I said, oh, hey, you've got a dog. She said, yeah. I said, wow, is the odor emanating from the dog? It's very nice. I said, yeah. And she goes, yes, yes. It got in a fight with a skunk last night.
Oh!
I mean, up absolutely rancid. I said, ma'am, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to leave the store. These are the words I used. You're stinking up my store.
Ooh, and what was the response of the pet owner to, you're stinking up my store?
Well, they were actually very nice and cordial. There was no type of animosity at all in that. But there was no malice on their side as far as bringing the dog in. They loved their dog, and they, you know, had a little bit of an accident and that. As far as the guy with the abuse of that dog, I could think of many things like you that would solve the problem.
Yeah, I mean, what kind of a scumbag, lowlife moron would do that to an animal? Even Carl on Shameless had some empathy toward his little buddies, his furry friends.
My cats, my dogs were part of the family. I'm not one of these people who just had something that they just, you know, fed it and that was it. But it's, you know,
I'm glad that the arrest has been made. Obviously, everybody is innocent until adjudicated as guilty in a court of law. We all know that game. But, you know, one of the things that that has come up on today's show, in addition to the number of dogs that is reasonable for one house to house, for example, in North Tonawanda, is the emotional support animals. Are people abusing emotional support animals?
Yeah, I think that like anything, you give them an inch and they take a mile. There's certain people that the only thing they care about is themselves, and if they know they have to do certain things to skirt. Here's my next beat. I'd love to have you do a show on no parking zones. I'm going to be doing a YouTube channel in the next coming months where I'm going to film all these no parking zones. Then I go up and talk to the people.
Wait, what do you mean by no parking zones? Because I'm one of these people who thinks there are far too many handicapped parking spots.
Well, granted, I understand that. When my parents both passed now, but they both needed them when they got up there in years. So when I go to and I see a parking spot that's being abused by a certain person or people, and they have no indication that they need that physically or mentally or anything, especially if that indicated visually on their their vehicle, it just drives me freaking crazy. Because, and again, I understand that you go to some places and they overdo it, but when people need them, they need them. There's no reason somebody, you know, and I say under my breath certain nice things, you know, maybe, you know, it'll come back around and give them the karma.
Well, when you need a handicapped parking spot, there is none to be found. When you don't need a handicapped parking spot, that all you will see from sea to shining sea is handicapped parking spots.
The vitriol that's been thrown on me, disparaging words, the racist words, the race were, oh, unbelievable. I mean, just, I've seen actual vehicles because the people are so upset, visibly upset. The vehicle actually elevates off the ground. They're so upset.
Elevates and possibly levitates. Well, one of the things with the handicap spots that you got to look out for, and this is something that should be ameliorated and taken care of by the person who is going to be doing the parking in the handicap parking spot, there are a lot of diseases that people have that are not obviously ones that you would think they would need a handicap parking spot. For example, there are certain cardiac issues where people legitimately need a handicapped parking spot because with heart patients, you are not supposed to be exposed to extremes of heat. You're not supposed to be exposed to extremes of heat. Pulmonary, obstructive pulmonary diseases. You might not know that somebody actually has COPD unless you've got their full medical chart in front of them. You got to be careful sometimes playing doctor.
Oh, again, and I'm always the ultimate decorum, the ultimate compassion. I just say it in a very black and white way. It seems like, I knock on the front of the hood, I point out the sign, I say to them verbally loud enough they can hear, I say, you must have made a mistake. I see no indication that you're parking here. And usually, nine times out of ten, they're not a virgin. But nine times out of ten, there's no thing but just disregard for, hey, I have a dog, I have a parking spot, my dog is a health issue, for me and my parking spot. I don't give a darn about anybody else.
Oh, so you're talking about people who are abusing emotional support animals in order to get the really good handicapped parking spots.
Oh, a lot of that. All of that. Anything people can get away with, Tom, they will. You know that.
And it's funny because look around right now and you will see a sea of handicapped parking spots. Break your leg, have a heart attack, all of those spots will be taken up, every single one.
Gone. Yeah, you should do a whole show on that, I'm telling you.
I'm more than willing today. I've got the time and it's raining outside, which doesn't hurt. All right, thank you very much. I appreciate it. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. Should there be a limit? How many dogs is too many dogs? How many dogs is the maximum number of dogs you've ever had in your home? And let's start the bidding at six. Anybody here ever have six or more dogs living in the same house at the same time? Anybody have a problem if your neighbor has six or seven dogs living in the house? Anybody here have an issue with people abusing emotional support animals? They don't really need an emotional support animal. They just get that designation for their creature so they can bring the creature to wherever they happen to be as human beings. I mean, is that, to me, that is almost like self-degradation that I just don't understand. It is a such a low level, I can't begin to understand it, that you would demean yourself so much that you would use a dog to say, I am desperately in need of emotional support. I must have my animal everywhere I go or else I'm going to go into conniption fits. And again, there are certainly people who need emotional support animals. But let's not confuse some PTSD shell exploding veteran with somebody who's just a little bit mildly neurotic and put them in the same category, because they're not. So anyway, if you're just joining us, in North Tonawanda, they are taking a peek at how many dogs are too many dogs for one home. Should there be a limit? And I'll put that out to you as a general question. Should there be a limit to the number of dogs that can be housed in one home? Or is it really dependent on how well the owners actually take care of the dogs? And, instead of having a hard and fast number, I think that you've got to take all circumstances into consideration. Some people are just more responsible pet owners than are other people. Some people can handle five dogs. Some people can handle six dogs. And you'd never even know that they had six dogs in the house. The odor wouldn't be a problem. They clean up after the dog. And other people, they have one dog, and it's almost like the dog becomes this marauding force in the neighborhood that you can't help but see and can't help but smell. A lot of it, I think, depends on the humans. The other thing, too, that depends on the humans, have you noticed more and more of what you consider to be abuse of the so-called emotional support animal? And I didn't realize it was so easy to have your animal designated as an emotional support animal, or ESA, until I read this article in The Guardian where the therapists say that there are mills online that will actually certify you as having a need for an emotional support animal so your dog can travel with you as much and as frequently as possible. And I'm sorry, but that does not seem right. It does not seem fair. I can certainly understand, and I think everybody can understand, if somebody is a combat veteran, if somebody has a situation of extreme, you know, emotional concerns because of their service to the country and nonstop explosions and traumatic stress situations. I think we can all understand that. But when somebody is just trying to get their dog designated as an emotional support animal because they're slightly neurotic or they don't want to leave their dog at home, I'm sorry. I think that is a real problem. And this comes from somebody who loves dogs. I love dogs so much that I think the groomer charged with killing that one dog at that one grooming place in Buffalo a few days back, I can think of all kinds of draconian punishments for that individual if that individual is found guilty of the charges that individual face. I mean, what kind of a coward do you have to be to do that to a dog? What kind of a lowlife, scumbag, ballless coward do you have to be to do that to a defenseless animal? It is, and if they do it to a defenseless animal, they'll do it to a defenseless human. One of Rick Springfield's lesser known hits. It is 437 at News Radio 930 WBEN. And it is Bowerly with you on the radio on a Tuesday. And the fraudulent emotional support animal scam that goes on around us. There are service animals like we grew up with, especially with blind people, service animals, of course. And now, of course, there are emotional support animals, which all too often, it seems like they're becoming a scam. Just say that you have an emotional need to have a support animal, and it's easy to get your dog or cat classified as a support animal, and voila, you suddenly are the proud owner of a emotional support animal. Like anything else, I guess, people have got to wreck a good thing. 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And the other thing, too, is these emotional, so-called emotional support animals that aren't trained. Anybody want to think about the risk they are putting the legitimately trained service animals in? I'm just asking the question. Here's Cheryl in Buffalo at 803-0930. Cheryl, you're on WBEN.
Hi, Tom. Yeah, when I was a kid, I was born in 70. My father had served in Vietnam. He did have a service dog when we were younger. And unfortunately, we had to remove the service dog from the house because I developed allergies. Dogs, and I had a severe attack. I almost lost my life due to it when I was around like 8-9 years old.
Horrible.
When I go into stores these days and I see an animal, and if it does not have a vest that says service animal on it, I drop whatever I have in hand. I don't care if it's at the registers or whatnot. I have to immediately leave the stores. I have approached several managers at several different stores about this, you know, explaining I have a severe dog allergy. You know, you need to have this animal removed if it's not a legal service animal. And I get told, well, then, ma'am, you need to go to another store to shop because we cannot turn the animal out. And I was like, are you kidding me? You're taking an animal's life over a human?
Well, yeah, and it's easy. See, here's the thing. If I mean, you can look this up online. It's easy to have any animal you want designated an emotional support animal. It could be a ferret. It could be a box turtle. It could be a pet snail.
Oh, I know. And it's you know, and I don't look down on anybody for having an animal. I don't do it, okay? I can totally appreciate it. But when it comes to my life or your animal being in a store, especially a store with food, where there's cross-contamination that could go on, I'm going to choose my life over your animal.
I mean, how are you supposed to lick food and put it back onto the shelf with all these animals around keeping an eye on every move?
Well, I'm talking because, you know what, the animal dander, the allergy comes from the saliva from the animal, okay? An animal cleans themselves. An animal sheds. So, therefore, you're taking that animal saliva, dander, and it's going all over food products and stuff, whether it's packaged or unpackaged. It's unhealthy.
But, you know, if you think about it, you don't see all that many service animals, correct?
Correct.
Service animals are kind of rare to see. These days, however, it seems that everywhere you look, somebody has an emotional support animal handy.
And this is the thing. Service animals have to go through, you have to go through a very rigorous process to get this animal classified as a service animal. And you're right. For an emotional support animal, you don't. All you have to do is tell your veterinary, the veterinarian, and they're automatically classified as an emotional support animal.
Yeah, and it's not really fair to you, given your sensitivity to the dander of these animals. And, you know, your chance of running into a legitimate service animal is far less than running into a so-called emotional support animal.
Exactly. A perfect example. I won't say which location, but I went into a Dollar General. There was a gentleman holding a small ankle biter, because I don't know what kind of dog it was, but that's how small it was. And the woman was holding the same exact dog. I got behind them in line, and as soon as she turned and I saw the dog, both dogs, I put my items on the belt, I stood back, and the manager goes, ma'am, is there a problem? I said, I am highly allergic to dogs. Well, they're allowed to be in here. And I looked at her and I went, since when, if it's not a service animal, is allowed in a store? And the guy looks at me and he goes, well, it's part of my family. And I said, okay, that's great. I have a turtle that's part of my family, but I don't take it wherever I go. Well, if I leave the dog at home, they constantly bark. Okay, so then train them.
Yeah. You know, maybe just start carrying, like, pocket mice around. This is my mouse. It's Fred. He's part of my family.
That's an idea.
Or put a hamster in a hamster ball.
Yeah. So I looked at the manager. I said, well, then I'm not paying for my items. And I walked out of the store. I won't visit that Dollar General with that manager there again.
They'll miss you.
They probably will, because it's a store I was frequently quite a bit.
Don't ever knock Dollar General to me. That's where the Bowerly swimming pool came from. The Dollar General, $20 blow up pool.
And
also where the Bowerly prom date came from, which was an interesting turn of events way back when.
Yep, and I also have a comment about the handicap parking.
Yes, what is it?
That perturbs me to no end. I have emphysema. I did smoke when I was younger. Guilty. I also have a herniated disc that is pushing on the nerve for my right leg and my left leg. I have a constant burning line in my right leg from my hip to my ankle, and my left leg is weak. My neurosurgeon wanted to give me a handicap tag. I refused it because there's somebody out there who is worse off than I am that could use it. Those people that park in handicapped that don't need to, I think they need to reevaluate themselves and their morals.
Well, yeah, but of course, you just never know when somebody is having a situation and somebody isn't. I mean, you know, somebody, for example, on a 95-degree day, somebody who is a cardiac patient might want to take advantage of a handicapped tag that they have in the vehicle with them, whereas on a 70-degree day, they might not want to, because in particular with cardiac patients, you're supposed to avoid extremes of hot and extremes of cold, but you also have to use, I think, some common sense. I mean, come on. Are you really going to take a quadriplegic spot because you might be inconvenienced a little bit?
Oh, I totally agree. My mother had a heart attack. She is a cardiac patient. She was given a handicap tag, and this was probably about 9, 10 years ago. Do you know my mother has not used that handicap tag once? She refuses to. Because she said there is somebody with a physical disability who could use that spot more than she does. So if it's an extremely hot day, I will drive her to the store, drop her at the door, go park, and then I walk in to meet her.
I hear you. And there's some of us who, you know, who have to be careful. One of my very dear friends, a disabled Buffalo firefighter, and sometimes he uses it and sometimes he doesn't.
Right. And, you know, it's all on, I guess, how a person was raised. I don't know.
Yeah, and a lot of it, too, has to do with the kind of day that person happens to be experiencing. You take a day like today with the barometric pressure all over the place and somebody's knee that ordinarily might not be a problem might be really acting up today.
Yep, exactly. Like, for example, my leg. Today I'm limping more than normal, where if it wasn't, like, where we had just the cooler days and stuff a few days, I felt great. I had no back problems. I was able to walk, wasn't having any pain. Today, it's a whole different ballgame.
Now, you hang in there, and thanks very much for the call, and good luck with your emotional support animals.
Thank you.
All right, yeah, emotional support animals, I think they're being so overused right now, it's not funny. Not to be confused with service animals. Service animals typically do jobs for people. Emotional support animals, typically you can get anybody and his brother to call and designate your animal an emotional support animal, and suddenly the world is supposed to roll over, and it becomes that animal's oyster. Here is Linda in Pendleton on WBEN. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Probably increasingly unpopular. How are you?
First off, I have a couple comments and questions. I absolutely love dogs, but I can't have them because I am allergic to them. So I'm kind of curious. I haven't been on a plane in a very, very long time, particularly with this situation with the traveling, but what do they do in circumstances where there is an animal? Well, I'm allergic to animals with fur and feathers, so a cat or a dog, if they were close to me in a confined area, I would be in trouble. Would they just ask for volunteers to switch seats?
I'm not sure what they do in a situation like that. I haven't been exposed to an airplane like that, to be honest with you.
Okay. And then this lady's story about that was just on about the wheelchair, the handicap parking. This is kind of an ironic story. It annoys me when I see people parking in those spots. They have the handicap tag, but like you said, you know, they don't appear handicapped. But there was a situation that two young people took a handicap spot. They both got out of the car young, I mean, in their 20s, had exercise equipment on, and were going into the Y, and they took a handicap spot. Now, that is so ironic. They could have started their exercise before they got out of the car and not take that parking spot. I mean, that's just ridiculous. The other question I have is, I have a neighbor who has a dog. Actually, I have two dogs. One of the dogs is aggressive and will charge the fence and growl. I cannot go in or out of my car, in or out of my garage, or in my backyard without the dog barking incessantly. And I was wondering if there are any lawyers out there in the audience that know anything about a private nuisance law that could be used to help curtail this constant barking.
Have you tried a squirt gun?
No, but
My first inkling would be I'd try a squirt gun, just with ordinary water in it, not boiling water. You don't want to hurt the animal, but, you know, the animal starts charging the fence, and after a few times being squirted, you might be a less attractive target to it.
Yeah, but I don't think it would stop the barking, just getting in and out of my car or in and out of my garage or in and out of, you know.
You might have to escalate to a super soaker.
I'm sorry?
You might have to escalate to a super soaker. The idea being, hold on if you would. The idea being, you don't want to hurt the animal, but you do want to dissuade the animal from its inappropriate social interaction with you. Service animals or emotional support animals, and there is a difference and a clear distinction and differentiation between the two. Basically, any animal at all can be called an emotional support animal. A service animal is something that typically goes through extreme training. like a seeing eye dog for blind people, an absolute service animal, an absolute necessity, an emotional support animal. Come on. If we really hit that level in society, and I can understand it for some people who demonstrate a clear need for emotional support animals, but when I see some of these restaurants I go to and I see that people have brought their animals with them, it doesn't exactly give me a warm, fuzzy feeling. And I love animals. I can only imagine what it's like for people who don't like animals. Here's Linda again in Pendleton on WBEN. Linda.
Yeah, in regards to that dog, I really hold the owner directly responsible for not controlling the dog, the barking. And the only thing that I can...
This is the one that charges the fence when you're getting into your car?
Yeah.
Have you talked to the owner about it?
I can say as I'm counting the years, I know how old the dog is, and I love dogs, but this one's got to go. And in relationship to therapy or service dogs, I'm a retired health worker, and as I love animals, I really do, and they bring puppies often and therapy dogs into nursing homes, and the reason why they do that is because these dogs do lower blood pressure, and people with animals, companions, there are studies that these people live longer because of that. Yeah, I agree that there's probably abuse of some of these dogs, but I would actually rather see that abuse than people taking medication for things like blood pressure.
I'd rather see them taking medication than have their dog in my restaurant.
Well, I can understand your feeling on that, and probably I just...
Because their medication, taking it at home, is sanitary. Their dog in a restaurant where I'm trying to eat clams isn't sanitary.
Well, these dogs are supposed... Most of the dogs that I've seen are pretty well-trained. They don't leave the owner. They sit pretty close to them. The only time that they may stray from the owner is if someone goes over there to pet them. And if they're truly service dogs or therapy dogs, they usually say, you know, they have a jacket on. And
yeah, but I don't think you understand. It's easy to get an emotional support designation for an animal. It's easy to do. There are mills online that will actually do this for people. It's not a service animal. It's an emotional support animal.
I would go through the inconvenience of hoping that perhaps maybe if they have a blood pressure problem, you know, that it's alleviating that. Now, they don't need to take them to the restaurants. But I do think that these animals do serve a very good purpose for health reasons, even for health reasons that aren't so obvious.
I would just as soon have my IV with morphine and Dilaudid ready to go.
Well, you know,
I wonder how people feel about that. Excuse me, did I just spray onto your salad? Sorry about that.
Well, you know what? You just may need that with that kind of attitude.
See, I'm the problem now because I don't want filthy dogs in a restaurant where I'm trying to eat when the owner should just maybe, I don't know, if they've got that kind of high blood pressure, maybe they're the ones who want to stay home.
Well, yeah, then I guess.
All right, I guess we're getting somewhere there. All right, it's I'm the problem because I grew up in an era where people didn't need emotional support animals to take a walk around the street. You know what I'm saying? 450. I am the issue. See, I'm the problem because I'm somewhat normal. So I got to bend for the people who can't get through their life without an emotional support animal at their beck and call and at their ankle 24/7. I'm the bad guy because I want a restaurant that people aren't just trying to scam out of some emotional support animal designation. I've become the bad guy. 457 at News Radio 930 WBEN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.